Are you scared?
He's here.
I'm an American badass. Watch me kick. You can roll with rock or you can
radio.
I'm a porno flick. I'm like Amazing Grace. I'm gonna f*** some f***s after I rock this place. Super fly, living double wide. Sidecar my glide so Joe C can ride. Full sack to share, bringing flash and flare. Got the long hair, swinging middle finger in the air. Snakeskin suit, 65 Chevelle. See me ride and sin, hear the rebel yell. I won't live to tell. So if you do, give the next generation a big. Who knew I'd blow a black punk war bomber? Said punk high school.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Podzilla 1985, the podcast for Blogzilla 1985. My name is Hunter Hendricks. I'm here today with your host, Shannon Young, and Zach Price as well. Shannon, launch us into it, my friend.
Oh, and can I just start by saying, my God, it's good to have you back.
Like, do I need to record one of those that you can just
I think you need to record the intro for every show. And it finally will silence all the critics that say I suck, because now we have
nobody
double
says
H on
you it. Suck.
Not to
you
my face, because I'm really big.
I just said
well, Zach, I get enough hate mail for you as it is.
Okay. I'll ask Ethan if he wants me to, welcome to the event. Or not Ethan, I'm sorry. I'm
Jesse.
Thinking of
Jesse.
Yeah, I'm thinking of a totally different guy.
Ever since you did that first show when he heard it, he totally wants you to do the intro for every Penn and Nerd. He wants you to. I said you should get him to record that.
Welcome to the Penn and Nerd podcast. Am I supposed to do it as him? I don't know.
I don't think anybody could do it like him because he
That's
gets the.
Right.
Oh my God, I saw it last night for the first time. He summons the deepest, darkest voice he can.
Oh like, man, like he gets into
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
like
I saw druids appear around him as he did it. It was like the Undertaker. But yeah,
That's
you know,
great.
Thank you for the intro. I'm glad
Absolutely.
You're back on the show, Zach. It's
glad
always good
to
see you. You're
thank
always
you.
Here. I can't get rid of you. And, you know, we're talking about wrestling, as we often do, because mm-hmm. we don't really like...
We don't really have another life.
Yeah, we don't really like real
other
life.
Things.
And today we have a very specific topic that
yes,
I wanted to talk about that I thought it would be a good job or good idea. Very funny. Ever since WrestleMania, I've not been... We talked about this. As excited as we were before the
sure.
show. I mean, that's... Oh, my God. When we recorded that pre-show, we were all so hyped and
oh,
all
man.
Wanted to do it so bad. And ever since then, it's been the... what would you call it, Zach?
The drizzling shits.
There you go.
That's about right.
And to see where they've gone since then, it's kind of made me embarrassed to be a wrestling fan, as they always do. And I thought, you know, I can think of so many times that I've been embarrassed to be a wrestling
sure.
fan. But what's your top five? And that's what we're going to talk about today.
That's right.
Your top five most embarrassing moments, or, you know, at least five of the ones you can remember. Because, Zach, you've only been watching wrestling for about a year, year and a half. So,
Lauren and Jordan.
And now all the Sting hate makes so much sense to me.
I don't want to talk about that. I do not want to talk about the Sting match. But before we get into that, actually, a couple of wrestling notes I wanted to mention. I wanted to
sure.
get your take on it, Hunter, and your take on it, Zach. We were just talking about before the show, the Cape Comic Con is this weekend,
oh, yes.
I believe. And I didn't even know this. This shows you how out of the loop I am with kids. There's going to be a wrestler there. Who did you say it was going to be?
Beautiful Bobby Eaton.
Beautiful Bobby. Zach, are you familiar with Beautiful Bobby?
I've heard of him. I just want to meet the wrestler.
That's how you keep referring to him as the wrestler. Yeah.
He thought Mickey Rourke was coming. We were very confused.
I would totally go see Mickey Rourke.
I would go see Mickey
yeah.
Rourke. I'd be all about that.
I would love to get him on there. And, you know, not to talk about other things, but you were possibly going to interview him for the show for,
right.
for 99.3.
That's right.
And you're not.
Well, there was some crossed wires is what it comes down to, ultimately. For the past couple of years, I did not interview Jerry Lawler, who was there a couple of years ago, in advance. I did get to meet him at the show, which was nice. And then I did interview Jim Cornette last year.
Oh, I'm so
he was
jealous
there.
Of that, too.
Oh, man, that was a blast. I told you guys before we came on, I almost couldn't get Jim off the phone. He just wanted to keep talking. And, you know, so many times when I've gotten to do interviews with WWE superstars and TNA superstars, it almost kind of has to be a kayfabe interview. You have to talk
yeah.
about, what are you going to do when you guys are in Cape tonight? And, you know, if he hits you with this finishing move, how are you going to get out of it and that kind of stuff? It's kind of corny.
Insulting. Yeah.
Sure.
Insulting
but
to the wrestling
Jim,
fan.
Jim was very, I mean, he's not involved in a promotion at this point in time. Just prior to that, he was in ROH for
right.
a while.
Right.
And I just asked him about right before we went on, Jim, is it cool if we talk about you know, current companies, and he goes, it would be not cool if we didn't. And I was like, okay, sure. I think that makes sense. I asked him outright at the time, you know, just give me a little letter grade, you know, of current promotions. Let's run them down. And we talked about WWE and how they were at the time mishandling CM Punk.
Yeah.
And he was this close to walking, you know, he's very close there. And, And so Jim was just really, really fun to interview. With Bobby, we couldn't get a time lined out where it would work out perfectly for me to do so. I'm going to be at Comic-Con this weekend. I do hope to get a chance to meet him. But, yeah, unfortunately, nothing in advance.
Now, when you were scheduling something with Bobby, were you talking to his agent, or was he just, like, camping out in front of the studio
no.
hoping to catch you when you walked in?
No, in this case, I talked to the manager of Cape Comic-Con, Ken Murphy. Of
course. Ken Murphy. Everybody knows Ken.
Yeah, of course. And we just couldn't work out an exact time to get it done. So, unfortunately, that's the case. But fingers crossed, you know, I'll get a chance to meet the guy while we're there, and we'll get to talk a little bit.
Because he's a legend.
Sure.
Yeah, we're joking around. But the man's a legend.
Oh, yeah.
Zach and I know I joked around, but are you familiar with Beautiful Bobby?
To be honest with you, no.
I didn't
think I've heard of him. I'm sure I've probably seen videos of him, you know, throughout, you know.
Yeah, but he's on the network somewhere, I'm sure.
Right. I didn't go look for him.
Well, nobody is. That's the problem. Nobody's
They'll
going to
be
look
looking
for
Saturday.
Yeah. Other quick things, real quick. This is pretty important. I don't know if you heard about this yet, Hunter. Zach, you probably have because you're like me. We just troll the websites all the time. Mm. TNA. Did you hear about their pay issues that they're having?
Yes.
You haven't heard this?
I haven't heard of it.
They are so backed up with checks going out to the wrestlers that Taz actually quit.
Wow.
Yeah, he quit this week.
Yep.
Because he is back. He's owed so much money.
And there's been conflicting reports from what I've seen because Matt Hardy made a point to post a picture of himself, I want to say on his Instagram or something official, where he was holding his check saying, yeah. Whatever you're hearing, it's a lie. And I think it's more
a
case
of... But he had five checks.
Right. Right. He was getting five at the same time.
Right.
I think it's more a case of some guys are getting there, some guys are not. And again, they are backed up one way or the other. I think it's hard to dispute that at this point. They've all but admitted that. Yeah, so that's not so good. They had these issues a couple of years ago, too, if I remember.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, like, how long has TNA been almost dead?
Right.
You know?
Right.
Just, like, those guys, I mean, they're hanging on a prayer. They
2001.
Really isn't that when they started?
Yeah.
From day, well, because they used to do the, before they actually had a TV show, they used to do monthly pay-per-views.
Right.
That was their only show, wasn't
right.
it?
Yep.
Was
and
the
they,
monthly pay-per-view.
They weren't even on the weekends. I remember there was one that was like on a Wednesday or something, just in the middle of the week out of nowhere.
I was like during the summer, and I just wanted to watch it because they had a midget ladder match.
There was also a midget that masturbated in a garbage can once on that show.
Huh. She just meant in general. That felt like a story from the bowels of Gaming Grounds. So I walked out back one day. And,
here's this midget spanking it.
So did Taz say he's on like with his next plans, or did he just?
No, he just said thank you. You guys are great. It's one of those things where it's like you guys are great. You're awesome. You're doing so well. Good luck, but fuck you.
Right.
Middle fingers. I'm leaving.
Let's be honest. Sooner or later, Taz will probably show back up in WWE. I know he's run him down. I know he's I've been the TNA guy for a while now, and he may not even commentate. I would honestly be curious to see if he ended up being a trainer.
Replace Hugh Morris. What was his name? Bill DeMott.
Yeah.
Now that DeMott's gone, you need somebody in there that knows. And Taz has a training school, doesn't he?
Yes, yeah, he does. Yes, he does.
I forget the name of it, but
he was involved in one of the earlier Tough Enoughs. Was it the first or second one? He was
like
old Tough Enough. So I could see him probably going back to that, commentating too, possibly. But I mean, I think
he was
a great
commentator.
Sure. It took him a while to get there. I've been watching some of the 03, 04 stuff on the network when he called
him and
everything
Cole.
A pin cover. And so frustrating, man, to listen to, because you knew he knew what he was talking about, but he just got locked into a phrase. I mean, we run into it in radio. It's called a crutch. You say something over and over, and whether it's accurate or not, eventually you stick to it. So,
like going out on a limit, string bean. Zach's just got so many crutches he falls back on.
I haven't heard a limit one in a while.
You need to be on the show more.
I know. Now that we have worked out this way to do this on the weekdays, it's a little bit easier.
Yeah, we have so many different studios, quote unquote, that we record at that we can do a show at any given time.
A floating craps game. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. We got, you know, midgets masturbating in cans, and it may have even been Taz.
Oh, shit.
I don't know how I didn't make that connection.
How is that not on the. Is that on anybody's list of five embarrassing wrestling? Is
no.
the midget masturbating in TNA?
Well, I'll explain. I was just going to say when I get to mine that it's all WWE.
Me too.
Is it? Well, I think it's important to note that if you go through the indies and through the history of wrestling, there are probably moments that are so mind-bogglingly bad.
You're getting there.
I can't say that word. Of baffling.
Baffling will work.
So bad that it would be unfair to put them on here.
Hey,
you know, like, did anybody, just to show his hands real quick for everyone that can see this on the air, did anybody put Katie Vick down?
You know, I did originally, but I came up with some others because I knew that one was probably going to be one.
Yeah.
So I thought,
that's too easy.
Sure.
And I think there's a lot, like, if you go back into Memphis wrestling, through a lot of the old wrestling, some of their angles were so bad that it's too easy.
Oh, yeah.
So mine is also from current day stuff, or at least WWE slash TNA slash WCW.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that in just 1 second. I have two more things I want to talk about just real quick. Did you hear about Daniel Bryan being mm-hmm. pulled from the European tour?
Yes, yep. And the rumor that he has been involved in a lot of six-man tags and other things
right.
because of the injuries. Yeah. Right.
Which, right after WrestleMania last year, after he won the title, big happy moment, everybody was excited.
Sure.
He gave up the title pretty quickly because mm-hmm. of injury. Now he won the IC title at WrestleMania. Injury's back.
Right back to it.
Do you think, I personally think Daniel Bryan will be retired within the next year to 2 years.
I think he has to.
Yeah.
I think realistically he has to. It's going to be a situation where, and again, I said this on the WrestleMania podcast, the pre-WrestleMania podcast, that he went the angle route instead of the Austin
right.
route. He went way too quick when it came back to returning. You know, Austin took a lot of time off, was able to come back for several years. Of course, now we see Angle still going, and Austin can't anymore.
Right.
But a lot of that, I think, it just has to do with how you work and how crazy you are.
Yeah.
But WWE is never going to let him do that. It's part of the reason, if I remember correctly, why Kurt Angle was keen to leave and go to TNA, because they actually had less restrictions when it came yeah. to yeah. their medical staff
yeah.
and their health. Yeah, they were keen to just let him do that, which is fine if you're okay with a guy dying in the ring, potentially.
which,
especially on national television.
Which, this isn't in my notes, but...
you didn't, but it's okay.
There's my catchphrase. Did you read about Kurt Angle talking about wanting to go back to the WWE and they wouldn't even give him the time of day?
Yeah, they were supposed to, and then what was it? There was a canceled meeting, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, they wouldn't even meet with the guy. Triple
right.
H just wanted nothing to do with him,
yeah.
which is pretty odd considering Kurt mm. Angle's such a big name.
Yeah.
You know?
I think we've talked a lot about how Triple H is the new face of WWE. You know, once Vince is gone, obviously Triple H is going to take over, and there's so
right.
many good things about that. He's done so much great work with NXT, but it's so weird. It's like Triple H has like a split personality. With NXT, everything is working so well.
Yeah.
And he's got this almost like an entirely different company. People
yeah.
want to stay there instead of getting called up.
Right.
And that's the thing, when they get called up, all of a sudden, even though he does have some control, whether it's full control or not, over Raw and SmackDown, they don't want to be there.
No, yeah. Look at Adrian Neville.
Oh, you know, sure.
We talked
I'm
about
sorry.
That, Zach.
Who?
Oh, I'm sorry, Neville.
Neville?
Neville.
I knew
yeah.
the Neville part.
He doesn't have a
Adrian
first name.
Was. Jeez.
But Zach and I talked about that on a couple shows back where, because they cut it from Hulu.
Yeah, they didn't put it on there. And I was looking, that was the whole thing I was looking forward to, that one WrestleMania Raw show, you know. The
right. Rest. But how do you debut the former NXT champion who is like on fire? You had, well, he had one victory, and who was it against? I can't even remember.
Who he faced that night?
Yeah.
It was Axel.
He beat Curtis Axel the first match, and then he's lost the past two.
Right.
They were good showings, but
sure.
he's lost the past two.
And to be fair, if you lose one to the WWE champion, even if he is a chicken shit heel like Seth Rollins,
right.
it's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you can accept that with him being a new guy. But still, you know, that's a bad track record to go on. Maybe that win should have come somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. Well, then he lost
to... It could have been like the Shelton Benjamin type thing. Remember whenever he beat Triple H like 3 straight weeks in a row?
And that was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
They could have done that with Neville, you know.
Yeah.
Have him beat a big name and then...
And just keep doing it.
I mean, he could have challenged for the title right from the start.
Right.
You know, put him against Rollins. Talk about the history they had
sure.
in NXT. You know,
but I think if you're going to do that, you almost have to go, and now I'm fantasy booking, but if you're coming straight out of that and you want him to be somewhere involved in that title picture while Lesnar is kind of taken away for a little while and you've got the other guys fighting for number one contendership, then you almost have to use it the same way they did, like you mentioned, Zach, with Shelton Benjamin, and have the authority be involved. So he challenges Rollins, he loses, but they say, okay, well, if you can go through the authority, you can get back to him. So he beats Kane, he beats Big Show,
yeah.
he beats Mercury and Noble, maybe in a handicap match, maybe somebody else gets involved in there too. They don't really have another guy unless I'm forgetting someone. But anyway, it'd be a good time to debut somebody new, and then he gets another shot at Rollins, and of course there's some, you know, chicanery or something at the end
there
of it,
usually is.
No, isn't there?
Like, that's am I the only person that's just sick and tired of seeing the usual heel authority unfair advantage stuff? I mean, how long can you run with an angle? Like,
well, sure.
20 years straight, I think, of
I can't,
this bullshit.
I can't imagine that you'd be the only one, considering the Raw after WrestleMania, one of the chants that was hurled at the at ring was same old shit for a long time.
Well, that crowd was bad.
Yeah.
Like, even for a post-WrestleMania crowd, like,
it was rough.
It wasn't funny this time. Like,
no.
Normally, like, you know, they do the crazy stuff and everybody's
got
having a good time. This time, they were actually vicious, chanting
yeah.
things at the Divas, and,
yeah.
oh, it was embarrassing. That should have been on the list.
Oh, we'll feed you, baby bird. I've got it on mine.
Did you? Oh, okay.
Care.
Very good.
Yeah,
very,
oh,
good
yeah.
very good. Very good. Last quick thing on Raw. I heard about this. I thought it was funny. I thought it was something we could laugh about real quick. The Cesaro-Orton thing.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, well, Cesaro was getting cheered. And they actually muffled the cheers for him, and
oh, wow.
and I don't know how they did it, some kind of digital magic, but they gave Orton the cheers that Cesaro was getting.
Oh,
so,
man,
like, It's not organic. That's the problem with WWE now. It's not organic. They're not letting them do what they want and letting the crowd react the way they want. They're still trying to shove it down our throat of who we should and should not cheer for.
It's a British tour. What did you expect?
Yeah, did you?
You're not going to give them a win over there unless your name is Paige. But still, why not? Oh, man. They were so quick. And again, we're going back to a totally different management team, a different time period. But they were so quick back in the days of Goldberg. To pick on WCW, piping in chants.
Right. I remember
what they turn right around and do the same thing.
Jordan, if you're listening, Goldberg was a wrestler from the 90s.
Speaking of the British tour, did you see the fans jumping in the ring?
I did see that. Oh,
did you see
man.
Like John Cena clapping, cheering
them
on?
Throwing the rock bottom and everything.
That dude was playing to the crowd better than some of the wrestlers that are in there.
And John Cena enjoyed it. If you saw the one angle of the from up above, John Cena was like clapping. He's like doing the 1-2-3 count with them.
Oh, that's man. Good. Encourage the fans
sure, yeah,
to jump
that's
in the ring.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Eddie Guerrero beat the ever-loving shit out of a guy back in the day for trying that.
So did Kevin Nash during
Did you ever see the video of La Parka down in Mexico?
No, I guess not.
Oh, my God. I've got to show you this video sometime. But they go into the crowd and brawl. La Parka lands in a seat. This guy grabs La Parka's mask, and without even missing a beat, La Parka turns around and hits him so hard in the face. I mean, oh, my God.
Nice.
I heard a clip of it. Someone added bowling sounds, so when he hits a guy in the face, I mean, it's vicious.
Oh, yeah.
You don't fuck with wrestlers when they're wrestling.
Well, no, and to be fair, what I was talking about, that Eddie situation, it was Eddie and RVD in a ladder match on Raw, and the guy almost killed somebody because he came in and shoved the ladder.
Yeah, pushed the ladder over.
So, you know, yeah, okay.
I got to see that. I forgot that guy.
Have you never seen that clip?
I probably watched it. I just don't remember it.
Oh, it was bad.
I bet if I see it now, like, oh, yeah, I remember that.
Two. 102.
That was definitely during my time.
It was SmackDown,
TNN.
I think. Wasn't
See, I don't
it?
Think I had, it was Raw.
Was it Raw?
Yeah, because it was on TNN or Spike, whatever they were at the time. I remember that because I saw it.
I probably saw it. I just don't remember it.
Yeah, you need to watch that because that's pretty bad.
Totally.
Did anybody put fan interaction as one of their most embarrassing moments?
Not exactly. Like I said, I've got some crowd stuff on here. But
well, let's talk about that. Let's get to this.
Can I ask a question before we get in that?
Okay, one question.
It was from Raw. What the fuck is a Russian chain match?
They have explained. They explained on the website. So here's the thing. There's been a long history of like strap and chain matches in professional wrestling. Generally, you just attach you guys at the wrist or at the neck if it's a dog collar match.
Yeah.
And that's the stiff. That's what happens. You beat the hell out of each other, but you can't really get away from each other, which is fine. And I really thought that's what they were going for. You remember, Shannon, you probably remember, because they were big in the late 90s or so, the four corners match.
Yeah, the where you're strapped up and you got to touch
each
corner.
They did that with Mark Henry and Sheamus a couple years ago.
So this is...
What a terrible stipulation to bring back.
A Russian chain match is a four corner strap match, but with a chain. It's the same idea.
It's like the stairs match all over again.
Yeah, you got to touch the four corners.
Oh, my God, the stairs match.
Oh, the stairs match.
What a terrible, terrible thing that was. I still remember Hogan did a strap match. I think it was the Yappapai strap match. I don't know how to pronounce it. It's on Botchamania all the time with that. But Hogan was in that, and he never touched the four corners. He pinned Ric Flair like normal. Then after the match, realized, oh, shit, and then he touched the four corners. That's after the match was over.
Wasn't it Savage who tried to pin somebody in the Royal Rumble, if I remember correctly? Get him out of here. Sure, why not? Oh, that's great.
Oh, they're not really paid to be smart, to be fair. Zach, I'm going to start with you on this, because you're the dumb one. You're the one that's going to have the worst ones of them all.
Well, I went with, since I've been a wrestling fan, you know, so I didn't get to put, like, David Arquette being world champ or anything
that actually didn't make my list.
Didn't make my list either. But embarrassing, yes, but not embarrassing as a wrestling fan, because people, it's reversed to me. I think people who don't watch wrestling would say,
yeah,
I know that guy.
Yeah, he's cool. He was in
LA.
I don't
know
Freaks,
who
like that
DDP
movie.
Is, but I know who David Arquette is.
And do you remember when he asked Booker T too? Hey, when have you ever been champion? And Booker T's like, I've never been champion. But yet David Arquette gets to go out there and be it.
Yeah.
But I also want to point out, I don't know how many people knew this, but when David Arquette won that title, like the money he made from that, he donated to...
It's true.
Who was it? It was a wrestler that just passed away.
Yeah, I don't remember
I want to say
either,
Brian Pillman. Man, oh, wouldn't Brian Pillman.
No, Brian had been gone. It wouldn't have been... No. I was going to say Owen Hart, but he was gone by then, too.
I think so. We'll have to look that up. Yeah. Somebody will look that up. But, yeah, he donated his money to that. So
sure.
David Arquette, to be fair, awful idea. But if you're a wrestling fan, you know, Hunter, you yourself, you don't do wrestling much, do you? But if you, if they had you come into WWE and do some interviews and you're a personality and they said, hey, by the way, we want to make you champion. Are you going
to
tell them no?
It's going to be hard to turn that down.
Exactly.
Let's again remember that this was not David Arquette's idea. This was Vince Russo's idea.
Yes. Fire Russo trending worldwide right now.
Right now.
It looks like Zach's looking this up for us.
Just to see if it's trending.
I almost had it. He donated it to wrestling families. Let me figure this out. You can. If there's something else you want to talk about, or if you want me to go into this, I can stop this for a minute.
No, go ahead and look at that. Hunter, so seen any good movies lately?
Oh, man. What was the last thing that I watched,
you're
actually?
Right. It was actually... Yeah, Owen Hart, Brian Pillman, Brian Hildenbrand, and Bobby Duncan Jr.,
Or maybe not
Darren Drozdov.
Darren Drozdov. Puke. He's going to puke. Yeah, that's him.
Wonder if he still works for WWE.
You know what's funny is that's all anybody remembers about him, but he never actually did that in WWE. That was
puked.
All from Beyond the Mat, wasn't it?
Well, because he was actually a football player that puked on the field.
Right.
Have you ever seen Beyond the Mat, by the way?
I've seen parts of it.
I need to watch that.
I go to Hastings every day to buy it, but they never have one on there.
That is
very good.
That's dedication. You go every day to buy it?
He goes every day to find the same movie. And every day they tell him, you know, we can order that for you. No, I'll see if you got it tomorrow.
He leaves and it's very mysterious. Who is that guy? I don't know.
He's a damn hero. He leaves a single black rose on the sidewalk every time he goes out.
I am your rose, remember?
Fuck you. All right, so what do you got?
So my five.
Now, are these actually in order?
These are in order from worst to most.
Okay. Worst to most.
Whatever.
Another thing to point out, by the way, in the past we've had excuses for this to be ridiculous. It's been like 1:30 in the morning. It's 1:32 p.m. on a Thursday.
Oh, God, no one has. We're going to post this on Saturday. Now they know. Thanks, Hunter.
All right. I think you told them that at the time.
I say a lot of things I don't remember, just to be clear. All right.
The number five one is the Vince McMahon Kiss My Ass Club.
Ah, good call.
That's not on my list. I forgot about that one.
I can go back and look. I can see like where they were going with the storyline. But as like a 12, 13-year-old, 14-year-old boy, and you're watching it, and your parents walk in, and you see this guy with the grin and the thong, his ass hanging out.
That's no good.
You're like, oh, shit.
That's no good.
And there's no – I don't think there was any particular version of that was in any way acceptable because McMahon did it. I think Trish once pulled her pants down and had the thong on.
Probably.
Didn't Rikishi do it?
I was going to say, as nice as the Trish thing was, that's still embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like you said, your parents walk in, and you're like, you watching wrestling? Yeah.
I think. That's what I turned it on to anyway.
Oh, he's making some notes here.
For later, you spoke of Trish.
Oh. What, did you just write babes?
Barks.
No, don't steal mine. Go ahead.
All right, number four is the HLA.
That's going to be a popular one.
You got me
one.
Down here.
Okay, so I had three of these right off, and I had to go ahead and look up things. And I was like, this is one that I remember seeing, but I forgot about. And it was – I had to go back. I got to start watching it today.
It was pretty stupid. The only good thing to come out of that was three count. Because they three minute warning when they came out and if I remember correctly he kicked that prostitute or the hooker. What was she?
They were actually wrestlers.
She was a wrestler.
Yeah, they got injured Ultimate from that. Pro Wrestling.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because he kicked her so hard, I think he broke her ribs.
That was another thing that was so bad about it. Yeah, they got legitimate injuries. So not only do you have these guys pandering to an audience that hardly exists at that point
in wrestling, especially
right. Then you turn right around and have, and not that they didn't have some intergender violence at the time, but I mean this was legitimate.
This was brutal.
The one guy chucked Rosie chucked into Umaga to the Samoan Drop.
Umaga.
And then Rosie did the jumped off the top rope and splashed on both of them.
Yeah, it was
looked bad.
And that first kick that when he kicked her in the stomach, it looks like she got hit by a car.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember too what this whole thing was a response to. I hope this doesn't pull from anybody's list, but it was when they were doing Billy and Chuck.
I almost put that on my list.
That was almost on my list as well.
Because they pissed off so many people by doing that because they lied. Blatantly lied.
Lied to the Gay Lesbian Alliance or whatever it was called.
So they were going
to
do
they were on the Today Show.
Yeah,
they were on everything.
Oh yeah. And then they chickened out at the end.
Right. And again, you know, on Raw, this was supposed to be their answer. This was, in kayfabe, this was Bischoff's answer to the gay wedding over on SmackDown. We're going to have hot lesbian action.
Yep.
And just,
goddamn,
weird time.
That term was burned into my brain. And it took so many years of therapy to get it out. Now we're bringing it all back to the surface. I appreciate that.
All right, Zach, keep stealing stuff from other people's lists.
Number three. Well, I got to go first. One was the HBK versus Shane McMahon with the God storyline.
Well, it was, HBK versus the McMahons, because we had a tag team match.
And, you know, I was actually in St. Louis at the Super Show when I don't know if he called God out or something, but all of a sudden, like, the ring went up in flames and the spotlight and all that.
Yeah.
And we were chanting, this is stupid. We were so loud. And I remember reading the reports of it later saying that St. Louis crowd had it right, because they were shitting all over this, because it was god-awful. Pardon the pun. God-awful.
But, yes.
All right.
You know, that just doesn't even deserve talking about more.
No.
Because it was so insipidly stupid.
And it just sort of happened, and then it was gone. And then, really, they didn't reference it much after.
Yeah, what was the driving point of that? Because I think Shawn Michaels lost, too, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that was coming either into or out of the reformed DX, right?
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
Yeah. And you have to give this man credit because he did do really well, especially in the promos. Well,
McMahon
in
is a church. Great promo. Yeah,
church, absolutely.
In the church promos, those are really well.
But it's insultingly stupid. And by the way, DX, the new DX didn't make my list, but it almost did.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I can agree to that.
Because that was just stupid.
Did you watch the Vince McMahon DVD?
Yes.
Where he talked about the next storyline after God, where he was going to do where he impregnated Stephanie?
Yeah, thank God they didn't go with that. That would have been on this list for sure.
Ooh, yeah.
All right, number two, we spoke about earlier, was the Katie Vick.
Do you have Katie Vick?
I don't have Katie Vick. Like I said, I stayed away from that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we said that was too easy.
I was like 12 watching that. I was scared, to be honest with you.
And they defended it so much long. Like Triple H.
Yeah.
Double H loved it.
That's right. No, Triple H defended it for a very long time because he was involved in it, of course. But man, was it bad. And it was awkward.
It was
just very strange to see. If you haven't seen this, I feel like we should probably explain some of these things.
Hunter, you do it. Maybe your beautiful voice will calm down.
I'll do what I can. So it was about 2003, I think, if I remember correctly. We had the brand extension, of course. So on Raw, two of the major players at the time were Kane and Triple H. Triple H had formed Evolution or was in the process of doing so. Mm-hmm. He was the big heel. He was the champion. Kane was kind of running through everybody and was well on his way to possibly being world champion. And instead of it just being Kane against Triple H, two big guys who want to beat the crap out of each other, they had to add in this bit about
the storyline.
About how Kane had, and this is one of the millions of myriad of ways that they've tried to humanize Kane over the years. Yeah. Supposedly, when Kane was a teenager, because apparently now he had a teenage life instead of growing up
I like to assume he was parlor. He was just like they opened up a casket and there he was, fully grown.
Just hanging out.
Yeah.
And so supposedly he accidentally killed his girlfriend in a
it was a car accident, wasn't it?
Yeah. And her name was Katie Vick. Now, what maybe some people don't know.
I can't talk about this.
If you remember Sick Boy from WCW, Scott Vick.
Yeah.
It was Scott Vick, right? I think is his name.
I remember Sick something Boy. Vick. I don't remember his name. Yeah.
Yeah. Something Vick. He was actually getting ready to come into WWE, and this was supposed to be a way of bringing him in. He was going to be the next member of Evolution.
See, I never knew any of this. That's new.
Good so we had him explain.
Theoretically, there was a really great idea here. Had it not been played just totally ridiculously. First of all, Scott didn't come in.
Right.
Obviously, that never happened because he never made his way into WWE. So the name, you know, kind of becomes superfluous and unnecessary. But whatever, no big deal. Then we move along through the storyline, and as we get closer and closer to this championship match between the two. There's a pre-tape vignette where Triple H shows up wearing like a Kane t-shirt and a Kane mask, and he's at a funeral parlor, and he opens up this casket, and there's a mannequin inside of a woman.
In a cheerleading outfit.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Good call.
Because they buried her in a cheerleading
outfit,
apparently.
Sure. And as Kane, Triple H climbs into the casket, begins like grinding against the mannequin, like grunting awkwardly, and then all of a sudden starts hurling, and I assume it was, I don't know if you've ever confirmed this, hamburger, like ground hamburger, back at the camera, which he then helpfully explains that he was humping her brains out.
He screwed her brains out.
Wow, all while Kane watches in the ring.
And while the fans watch at home.
They don't anymore. They don't turn on WCW because that wasn't an option, but surely something else was on Monday nights. I think Law & Order was probably on at that time.
Maybe. I would have totally watched Law & Order as opposed to that. It depends on which one it was.
But it was bad.
And I think, as a side note, do you guys go to WrestleCrap very often? Mm-hmm. Or over there? I believe, R.D. Reynolds, I think, is the gentleman that runs it. He bought... it was on one of his. Someone bought this. He bought that from WWE. He bought the cheerleader outfit plus the underwear, and it was signed by Stephanie McMahon. And so I think he said he paid $200 for it. $200 well spent for wrestling history.
Oh, sure,
Zach,
and number one.
I want to give number one drum roll.
And this isn't a storyline either.
Oh, it's not a storyline.
It's not a storyline.
All right, what do you got?
Chris Benoit.
Oh, fuck. I went there. Hunter, I'm surprised you didn't go there.
I had to.
You dropped the Benoit bomb on the first show.
Yeah, it's true, and I thought about it, but I've kind of got another one that gets out of storyline, so we'll get to it later, but go ahead.
And just, you know.
Just
you
in
know,
general, Chris Benoit.
I was on vacation with my family at this point, and I heard the news, and I was like, God damn it, somebody always, you know. it just brings bad to wrestling.
Yeah, it's a black eye.
It's almost like a major. Well, I mean, it is a major event, but it's almost like a national disaster. If you're a wrestling fan, you probably remember where you were when you heard
yeah.
that.
Oh, yeah.
I was working at the GameStop store in Sykeston. Lee Hodges text messaged me and said, Chris Benoit is dead.
I was just going to say, I was working at GameStop in Cape, and Corey texted or called me and said,
really?
Did you hear Chris Benoit died?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, because it was Monday night,
right,
and I was working instead of watching Raw.
Sure.
And I thought, oh, shit, how did he die? And, like, they killed his whole family.
Yeah.
And we didn't know Chris Benoit did it at the time.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
That's important to note. We did not know at the time that Benoit had killed his wife and son and committed suicide. All we knew was Benoit and his family dead.
Yeah, and they didn't know it either, which is why they had the tribute show on Monday, which they really regretted Tuesday.
Man, talk about awkward. Yikes.
Yeah. Talk about how great the man was one day, and then the next day going, never mind, we'll never speak of him again. And they haven't.
They've not mentioned him ever again. If you, like, watch pay-per-view from back in the day and Chris Benoit's on it, you know how, like, typically they give you points, like, on the timeline. It says, if you go here, you can see Chris Benoit winning. There's, like, gaps of, like, 40 minutes where it says, just skim through this, basically. Just go to the next thing.
Yeah, there's no bullet points on
this. This man never existed. Yeah, and the Benoit thing, you can't really make fun of that either. Like, a lot of this stuff we're making fun of and talking about how ridiculous it was. And it was just a tragedy. I mean, but I think the Benoit tragedy has propelled health in wrestling forward. Yes.
Oh,
a lot because of the wellness policies in effect now. You know, the stuff that Chris Nowinski's doing with the Sports Legacy Institute.
The concussion situation.
Yeah, they've really, really taken the health of their wrestlers more seriously. This is why you don't see chair shots to the head anymore.
That's right.
You don't see the pile driver, except for Undertaker, you know, every once a year.
To be fair, I mean, if you're doing it right, the tombstone pile driver is about the safest way you can do it.
But there's nothing safe about a chair shot to the head.
No.
Like, just go back and watch that Royal Rumble match with Rock and Foley.
Oh, I was watching clips from the first ECW One Night Stand earlier today. And some of those, I mean, what we colloquially call an ECW chair shot, where instead of hitting a guy, you just throw it at his head.
Yeah.
It's horrifying, man. It's horrifying to watch how dented these chairs come back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a guy's head.
Yeah.
You know,
I remember the Brock Lesnar when he went up against Matt and Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. They crushed his head with those chairs.
Man, you know, it was bad.
And it was horrible. I can't even think about it. Hunter, you want to go or you want me to go?
I don't know, man. What do you want to flip?
I'll go ahead and I'll take it. I'll take you main point. You barely ever get on the show. I want to promote you as much as possible because then it gets me better ratings. Mine are in no particular order. So this isn't a list like his of top down.
Sure.
But the first one that I have written down is, and this kind of, mine are kind of vague. They cover a lot of different stuff.
Okay.
The treatment of women in the late 90s and 2000s.
Yeah.
In the WWE. I saw, you had Barks written down, and that's why
that
I said you stole it from me. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you remember, during that time period, I guess they were catering to the teenage male.
Sure.
And even though I was that age, I was embarrassed. Like, because I'm a wrestling purist.
So.
You know, 80s wrestling was my favorite wrestling.
Yeah.
I love the big muscles, I want to see people wrestle.
Right.
So then instead you have Trish Stratus in the ring in a thong and a bra, barking like a dog on all fours for Vince McMahon. You've got bra and panty matches. You've got
evening gown matches.
Anything to get them
something
naked.
in a pool of
pudding, jello, pudding, whatever.
Whatever they got handy.
I can't imagine that they get so much flack now for how they portray women.
Right.
Where were these people 10-15 years ago?
They were called the Parent Television Council, and you saw them as right to censor.
That's an angle for a whole other day there. But that is one of the things that made me most embarrassed to be a wrestling fan. Whenever I would sit at home watching wrestling, and my mom would come in, or my dad would come in and say, what are you watching? Wrestling. And in the ring, it's two women in their underwear just kind of spanking each other.
Right.
You know? That was terrible. The second one on my list, also kind of vague, I just wrote it down as celebrity whoring. Because if there's one thing the WWE, I've said this before, is they're a star fucker. They will sell themselves out if you can get a celebrity on the show.
Sure.
I mean, they had John Cena lose to Kevin Federline.
Yeah.
That happened, motherfucker.
Yes, they did.
Think about that. That happened.
Yeah. Have you ever felt bad for John Cena? Because if not, you do now.
Yeah, he lost to Britney Spears' ex-husband.
While he was WWE champion, no less.
Yeah, and I think that's actually what broke, if I remember correctly, that's part of what broke up Britney Spears and Kevin Federline, is she laughed at him and said, what are you doing wrestling? And he took it seriously.
It was the Monica from Friends when, what was her boyfriend's name? John Favreau was on the show, and he wanted to be a UFC fighter. Yeah,
yeah.
Same idea.
Yeah. But you go from that to the guest hosts that are on Raw.
Bob Barker.
Well, Sam Bob Barker was okay. Like, there's occasionally a good one.
Okay, well, speaking one, then, how about Hugh Jackman? I mean, didn't he help Zack Ryder win?
He helped start the Ryder Revolution.
Yeah, I have some guest host discussion, but it's about one in particular. But there were some good ones, and that was something I was going to point out. So let's to be fair, say that there were a couple.
There were a couple.
Muppets worked out really
well.
Oh,
my God,
strangely.
I love the Muppets so much.
I think the Bob Barker one was a blast. That was fun. like you said, Hugh Jackman. Jericho with a name tag and no shirt on. He just has it stuck to his pec. That was great.
Seth Green wasn't terrible because he's a big fan of wrestling.
I didn't realize how small that dude was.
Oh, he's tiny.
Put him on his shoulders.
But not just the guest host now, but also just throughout the history of WWE especially, they will sell themselves out for celebrities.
Yeah.
Think about the WrestleMania 31. Mm-hmm. Triple H wouldn't put Sting over, but he put Ronda Rousey over.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Think about WrestleMania 1. Who was in the main event?
Mr. T.
Yeah. Three wrestlers and a celebrity who'd never wrestled in his life.
And went over. And then the next year, him versus Piper in the boxing match.
Sure.
T went over again.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah, so the WWE will cater to celebrities even if it means making their wrestlers look bad.
Right.
And that embarrasses me as a wrestling fan.
That reminds me of the whole, like, what was it, the Battle Royal with the NFL superstars?
Oh, in WrestleMania 2, wasn't it?
How big is that boy?
How much does this fellow weigh?
Oh, man.
My third one I actually scratched out because I have another list of smaller ones that aren't important enough to me to mention in depth, but I will mention later. But the one I replaced it with, and I should probably save this one for last because of everything on here, this is probably the one that embarrasses me most, not only as a wrestling fan, but as a human being. And this is the night after Brian Pillman died. And Vince McMahon interviews his wife, Melanie Pillman. The night after, 24 hours, she has been a widow.
Right.
And he asks her questions like, how are you gonna support your kids now? What about Brian's, you know, drug, you know, that stuff?
Yeah.
They're distancing themselves from his death. They're trying to make themselves look better.
Of course.
She's crying on screen. It's like watching this as a kid, which I was when I watched this originally, I thought, this is so fucking awkward. Like, what is the point of this other than to humiliate this woman?
Yeah. You know? I mean, again, had Benoit's wife not been killed, been murdered, you have to imagine, you know, if they'd done the same thing, not that it was any better back in, Pillman died in what, 97, 98?
Yeah, late 90s.
I mean, you know, not that it would have been that much better several years later, but again, do it then. Do it now and see what happens.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, they'd be all over that. Who was the last wrestler that died, like, young? Was it Guerrero?
There was Test.
Test, yeah. My God. I mean,
what was the other guy? Not Chuck. It was a guy who wrestled like in WCW.
Oh, Sean O'Hare.
Sean O'Hare.
I was a huge fan of Sean O'Hare,
me too.
Yeah. Oh, his Black Widow character was amazing.
But you're not telling us anything we don't already know.
That's true. Yeah. Dude spoke truth. But yeah, the McMahon-Pillman interview.
I never saw that.
You need to watch it, but I also would tell you not to watch it because it's so bad. If you ever thought Vince McMahon wasn't scum, like, if you somehow have it in your head that Vince McMahon is still a good person, you watch that and you realize what an awful human being he is to put that. And some of the flack's got to go for her, too, to agree to do it.
Well, of course.
True.
Because there's no way I would have done
that. That's what I'm thinking this whole time is, like, at one point, did she not say, let's not do this anymore?
Yeah. So she's equal parts to blame. Nah, not equal parts. Less so. But that McMahon would go through with it. It's just terrible. Number four on my list is just one person who, even though I like him, has embarrassed me as a wrestling fan so many times that I'm glad he's gone now.
Okay.
Oh. Santino Marella.
Oh, you know, I disagree with him.
No, I like Santino, and I thought his run up to Elimination Chamber, where he almost won the title, was great.
Sure.
And he was super over.
Yeah.
But the man uses, I mean, I know Mick Foley used a sock as a finisher too, but he literally pulls it out like a cobra, and it does magical powers to people.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I thought it was funny.
Well,
I didn't find it embarrassing.
But this is not a fucking variety show. You know, this is a Vince McMahon's all-time, you know, comedy hour. This is wrestling.
I love doing the little trumpet thing.
No. It's so and then they put him with that Australian thief, Emma, and it was
he was with Beth Phoenix before that.
At least Phoenix and Emma, or what is his name? Phoenix and Santino kind of worked because we have one idiot comedy character and one badass, you know?
Sure.
When you talk to Jim Cornette, did he ever bring up the story of when he slapped Santino Marella in OVW?
No.
Have you heard that story?
I have heard the story.
Zach, have you heard that story?
No.
So
enlighten me.
Well, they have Boogeyman down in OVW back when you know, Cornette ran it. And OVW was kind of like the NXT to WWE that we have now.
Yeah. Ohio Valley Wrestling.
Ohio Valley Wrestling. And so many great people. They talked about it on the John Cena podcast where they talked about
John Cena, Orton.
John Cena, Orton,
Batista.
Lesnar. They were all from that, Fat Logan.
Fat Logan.
Well, they have the Boogeyman go down there, and Cornette's telling everybody, be afraid of the Boogeyman. You know, this guy, he's super crazy. He's nuts looking, you know.
Right.
So the Boogeyman comes out. Everyone's afraid of him except Santino. Santino just kind of stands his ground and laughs.
He's a badass.
Oh, he wasn't a badass when he got backstage and Cornette slapped the shit out of him. That's actually why he got fired from OVW, for slapping Santino Marella.
That's true.
For being an ass. Story. Yeah. So Santino is, even though you can make an argument that he was a popular character, because no doubt he was,
sure.
To me, he was one of the most embarrassing things about wrestling, you know?
And it ties, let's tie back into a second, for a second here to your, WWE's treatment of women or wrestling's treatment of women in general, and of people who are of different sexual varieties. Let's just say that Santino's whole Santina.
I was hoping you wouldn't mention that.
Yeah, I kind of didn't want to either, but that's where I got super awkward with it, and that's where I thought that, you know, this is something that they're portraying as comedy, but I guarantee you there are transgender people who watch WWE. You gotta assume that they were offended. Yeah. You gotta assume that they were.
Well, speaking of that, and I know you're a huge fan of him, but Goldust.
I love Goldust.
WrestleMania with Piper, the Hollywood Backyard Brawl.
You know, that could have gone on the list.
People say they love that because, like Dusty Rhodes said, at the time, Dusty Rhodes and Goldust weren't speaking for, like, periods of time.
Right.
Yeah.
And he said, like, he was so proud of his son during that moment because it was a WrestleMania moment. But
yeah, it's that old argument that that no publicity is bad publicity.
Sure.
You know, so, yeah, they definitely... they definitely got their name in the papers for that, but I don't think it was for the right reasons.
Right.
And you take a guy like Dustin Rhodes, who, by all accounts, and I don't think anyone would argue this, is a fantastic talent. Great promos, great wrestler, absolutely. Getting better with age.
Mm-hmm.
You put him in women's lingerie, have him stripped down.
He volunteered to do that. He picked out the lingerie.
Well, he volunteered to do a lot of things.
He had a confidence that he could do it.
He also wanted to get breast implants at one point.
Yeah.
He really loved the gimmick.
He did love the gimmick, but, I mean, it's still embarrassing.
Right.
You know, that's definitely embarrassing. My top, though, this actually might be my top, just from a wrestling goofiness standpoint, and you've probably got this on your list, too. I think we're thinking the same thing here.
I don't know.
The fictional characters that they have incorporated into wrestling, like RoboCop, like Chucky.
No, you thought outside the box on this, right? Yeah. I didn't think of this. This is
whenever you watch wrestling, like whenever we're watching wrestling at the store, and I'm like, oh, guys, you got to watch this. This is Sting at his heyday. Oh, my God, he's so great. And then here comes RoboCop out to save him, and someone goes, wasn't that RoboCop? And I would go, yeah. Yeah, RoboCop's real.
Yeah, there was a movie. Don't worry about it. There was a movie happening. Yeah, and like you said, Chucky was bad.
Chucky came out and cut a promo on Nitro against Rick Steiner.
This. I never saw this.
Oh man!
And what's bad? Scott Steiner.
Well, no, it was about Scott Steiner though.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Because Rick was feuding with Scott at the time, and Chucky said, "You know, don't mess with Scott. He's going to be in my next project."
That's right.
And by the way, the Scott Steiner horror movie never came out.
No,
and I'm super sad about that. No. But yeah, Chucky cut a better promo than Rick Steiner.
Yeah, you know, he did. That's a fact.
So whenever you're out, when a living doll is out promoing you, I think it's time to put the headgear away.
I'm a little hung up on Scott Steiner horror movie, and all I can imagine is that match he had with Triple H at the Royal Rumble.
You think he would
2 seconds in?
Do you think he would kill all of his victims with suplexes? Like he would just grab the girl and suplex
him? He would call them all his freaks along the way,
and he would stab all the fat asses, you know. But there, not only RoboCop, not only Chucky, but there was also Arliss. I mentioned that on the WrestleMania podcast, and I don't think does anybody remember Arliss?
Oh, yeah. I remember the character.
It was an HBO show, and I really loved it. Robert Wool, you may remember from Batman, the original Batman movie.
Sure.
He played a character named Arliss, who was a scout. He was a talent scout for sports.
Yeah.
So in the world of television, it would make sense that Arliss would appear on Nitro to scout talent.
Right.
But you're trying to portray this as a real, you know, this is back in that era where they were breaking kayfabe constantly, and they had scripts, and you know they were pointing out the business was fake, and you had Robert Wool appear on Nitro as Arliss, and they said there's Arliss scouting out some talent, and I'm thinking no, that's Robert Wool from Arliss scouting out talent.
For some reason,
the Muppets, you could kind of make an argument because that also was kind of embarrassing, but it's the Muppets.
I was going to say, the only thing I think that's fair when it comes to the Muppets is that they've never been portrayed as anything else. The Muppets aren't some actor when they go off. Nobody even knows who the people are. Well, they know who
Lindsay
people
does.
Are, obviously. Sure, sure.
Lindsay does.
But for the most part, you don't want to. I mean, there have been celebrities, and I'm trying to remember who it was now. Jason Segel, when he did the Muppets movie, said outright the first time that he met Kermit the Frog, he started crying. Not when he met the guy who was playing Kermit.
Right.
He met Kermit the Frog.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit different.
Yeah.
I can understand where it fits into that. But again, the Muppets aren't somebody else outside of the Muppets.
Yeah.
That's
like you said, you would not see Kermit the Frog and think, oh, that's so-and-so portraying a puppet.
No, RoboCop, on the other hand, Robert Cop. I don't know if you know Robert, my old mannered Robert Cop, one day.
Actually, you know.
I got a screenplay to write, fellas. I got to go.
have you ever heard
RoboCop Origins?
We On the a Blogzilla 85 article, when I was doing the bootleg thing, there was a toy, which you probably have seen.
I think that's probably where I
Robert
Cop
from
mind.
China, yeah. I think.
Robert
Cop, sure. That's great. And I know there were more fictional characters, but I can't think of...
Yeah, those are the ones that popped in my mind.
Exactly. You just reminds me of the one I spoke of earlier, but, I mean, he's not God. The God storyline kind of...
God's a fictional character, right? Yeah, go ahead, Zach.
No, elaborate on that. I'm just saying that can be tied in with the whole fact that
they used him as a legitimate.
What, hell, what about Oz? Kevin Nash playing Oz.
Now I'm embarrassed to be on this podcast.
No, you should have been on the podcast a couple weeks ago.
The Kiss Demon.
Oh, yeah, you know? The Kiss Demon.
But that's a little bit different because at least they were wrestlers.
Sure.
But, yeah, when you put characters from another medium into your show that you're trying to portray as real.
You could almost even argue Mr. T in a way. I mean, you know, with the A-team being so big at the time.
Yeah, but I think Mr. T literally believed he was Mr. T.
No, that's true.
Does anybody even know what his name is?
T.
Is it just T?
It's spelled out T-E-E.
It's just like Warrior. It's just like Warrior, but he got changed to Mr. T.
Just T. On a tombstone, it's going to be a big T.
Tombstone is going to be a big T.
I have a couple little ones here that I just wanted to mention very quickly. And sure. If any of these are from you, I apologize.
That's
all right.
We'll just elaborate on
it. I wrote about this many times on Blogs of the 1985 because it pisses me off so much. It still does.
Sure.
The use of Vladimir Putin in...
Oh, yeah. I almost put that in.
Yeah, that is embarrassing to me. Like, if you have to... Especially after the plane crash that Russia shot down the airliner and, 300 people plus dead.
Right.
And for the WWE to go out the week after and use that in a storyline to blame America.
You notice, I don't think they've used him since, have they?
They
Is
have
he
not,
still in the entrance video?
He's still in the entrance video, but they don't talk about him anymore, I don't think. Because I think it's finally gotten to a point where they're thinking, okay, because you remember when they did the whole Saddam Hussein thing in the 90s with Sergeant Slaughter. It got so bad.
People were ready to riot.
They were literally
if Slaughter wins,
going to stab.
Riot.
They were going to slaughter.
Yeah. Yeah, it was going to be bad.
Yeah. So the Putin thing really pisses me off. I've said that a million times on the show.
Sure.
Do you remember the Big Show and the Boss Man?
Oh, and his dad passed away.
All right, so do you remember this?
Oh, man. I saw.
So Big Show.
We should really get the poem pulled up, by the way, if we're going to do this. I feel like we should have the poem on hand because he wrote him a poem.
He did. Zach, you look that up while I tell the story of this. So the Big Show's dad dies, and the Big Boss Man torments the Big Show about it horribly. Oh, yeah. Torments his mother and everything. Yeah. It all comes to the... Because, of course, they film everything.
Right.
So they're filming the funeral for the Big Show's father, who I think was just called Daddy Show, maybe.
Yes.
And the Big Boss Man...
We're going to start laughing because as horrible as it is, this thing was hilarious.
It was great because the Boss Man was so intense.
Oh, yeah.
He took it so seriously.
Yeah.
He hooks up a tow cable to the casket and drags it behind his car, which the Big Show then jumps on and surfs
like, surfboards on the back of it or boogie boards along on the casket. Yeah, it was the most horrible, horrible thing, and yet it was so funny to see a 7-foot guy dragged on a casket behind a truck.
And the Big Boss Man was so great in it. Like, I miss the Big Boss Man. He was so good.
Can we tie this, please, with also him tormenting Al Snow and killing
dog
his dog
Pepper?
And then serving it to him? And the whole joke was that, it was a Chihuahua dog named Pepper.
Right.
So supposedly he kills the dog off screen, cooks it, and serves it to Al like some sort of god-awful Hannibal Lecter ripoff. The whole joke was so that the whole thing was done for a joke so that they could say, they have the Big Boss Man say that he made Al Snow pepper steak. That was the whole damn thing. We spent all this time for a pepper steak joke that half the audience didn't get.
I think can we nominate the Big Boss Man as the greatest villain of all time?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like he's crossed over into cartoon villainy at this point.
He was hung by the neck in the Hell in a Cell. I mean, and somehow just walked away from that. I guess that was okay.
That actually ties.
Zach, tell me you got this poem, man.
No, I'm still trying to find it. I laughed first because I was typing this in. I misspelled some things.
Oh, that's a surprise. Yeah.
And I put in Big Boss Man, Big Show, Funeral Prom. And they pulled up porn.
Of course it did.
Funeral porn. I don't think we've talked about necrophilia on the show yet. And that's a good one.
All right, now I'm Googling Big Boss Man poem just to see if I can.
That was just what I was talking about.
I think I've got it. Keep talking.
I was going to say, the Undertaker thing, that's actually next on my list, is the Undertaker as a whole. Even though the Undertaker, classic character, you cannot get over the fact that, like they said in Wrestling Isn't Wrestling,
he's a fuck
king.
He's a dark wizard, yeah. Right. Who, if you remember, he cut his wrist and let Midian drink his blood.
It's true.
Turned him into a monster.
Right.
He crucified people. He hung people. He brought people back from the dead. Mm-hmm. He murdered Paul Bearer.
He
sacrificed
used Kid Rock as entrance music.
And Limp Bizkit.
And Limp Bizkit.
He used Kid Rock?
Yeah.
I fucking love Kid Rock.
I actually heard the song when I was driving home the other day on 99.3.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought...
American Badass.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, that's Undertaker's music.
Right.
I think we just figured out the theme song for this show. That's
right.
Your song of the day.
There you go.
Hey, I want to speak of one thing, going back to Putin. Like, I understand, like, wrestling used it, but I don't know if you watch House of Cards, but they use the same storyline in this season.
Well, that's WWE's
argument.
They
renamed the character.
They renamed the character.
He wasn't the same guy.
But it was almost the exact same.
Sure.
But WWE's argument is that since they are an entertainment company, that they have the same rights to use them in their shows.
I kind of almost argue with them there.
But
I would too. I think it's in poor taste. Last one, and I'm the kind of guy that doesn't talk about this kind of stuff very often, so I won't mention it much other than the original. I'll let you guys talk about it. Because I like to think that I go above this kind of humor.
sure you do.
Natalie Neidhart. When she was gassy.
The farting,
yeah.
You know, I almost had that on the list.
That was probably...
I must have forgot that.
It's like she would be backstage, and then you would just hear her let one go.
And it happened in matches, too.
Yeah, and the smell was so bad that people would topple over.
Yeah.
Like... How disrespectful
they had her,
to such a great talent.
I had to look this up because, like I said, I almost had it on my list, so I had to look up the clip. I thought I remembered it correctly, and now I can't remember who she was facing, but it was a Divas tag match. She throws somebody in the sharpshooter, as you do, but of course, in that position, she farts, and the ref can't get to see if the tap out is occurring.
Yeah.
He can't get down there. It ends up costing her the match.
I don't find farts funny
for some reason.
I don't find it funny at all.
I don't either, and I don't even like to say the word, as everyone that knows me.
I agree with you on that.
It was just so bad though. Like, I remember seeing that and thinking this is the lowest point, like,
right,
of comedy.
Right.
You know, you could talk about when Hornswoggle, or I liked him better when he was called Little Bastard or whatever it was.
Yeah.
What was it called?
Little Bastard.
Little Bastard.
Yeah.
Funnier when it was that.
Sure.
But when he drew the door on the wall and then ran through it, and then Carlito, or was it?
Like,
was it Carlito?
I think it was Carlito.
Yeah. And then he tried to run through
it. Chavo. Chavo.
Chavo. Yeah. Oh, poor Chavo Guerrero.
Poor Chavo. Kerwin White.
Great gimmick. If Eddie hadn't died, I thought that gimmick was going to take off.
Sure.
Briefly. But yeah, Natalie Neidhart almost made my list. Actually did make my list, and then I took it out for the Pillman McMahon thing, but god awful thing. Hunter, I want you to bring it.
Before this list, I gotta throw this Big Boss Man poem out there, because if you don't get how bad this feud was, all right, this was the poem that the Big Boss Man supposedly wrote for the Big Show after his dad passed away. Quote, with deepest regrets and tears that are soaked. Okay. I'm sorry to hear that your dad finally croaked. He lived a full life on his own terms. Soon he'll be buried and eaten by worms. But if I could have a son as stupid as you, this is where it takes a right turn on topical. I'd have wished for cancer so I could die too.
Oh my God.
So be brave and be strong. Get your life on track. Because that old bastard's dead and he ain't never coming back. And I kid you not, the Big Boss Man delivers this like he's motherfucking Shakespeare.
Yes, he does.
I mean, he's so into it.
Oh, my God.
I wish I would have saw this live.
But he has like a crumpled piece of notebook paper he's reading it off of.
The angle was so bad and everybody hated it. And everybody, even back then, people were like, this is in poor taste.
Sure.
But the Boss Man was so good in it. And delivering that poem,
It was a WWE movie. It was so bad it was good. And I'm not totally unconvinced.
I'm
going to
go home and watch the video of this now.
I'm not unconvinced that he didn't write that himself. Yeah. I'm reasonably sure he took a piece of notebook paper, wrote it, and then there you go.
The Boss Man character of that era was one of my favorite characters as the security badass in black. He was basically the Shield.
It was great.
Yeah,
I loved the Boss Man when I was a kid. He was a cop. I thought that was cool.
He came in to do justice, you know? And then he was Big Bubba Rogers, less cool, and then back to Boss Man. So that was great. Thank you for reading that poem.
Absolutely.
And I think I'm going to take that sound clip
and put it at the end of the show.
And put it at the end of every show. It's definitely going to be the end of this show. That is for
Listen
sure.
Listen for your hidden Easter egg.
That's great.
So what do you got?
All right. Well, we're going to skip over HLA. We talked about that. I think we've done that to death. They did it one time, and it was that bad for us to remember.
Hey, you know, it was so bad, and it was so memorable, though,
sure,
that people were chanting it for however long. They had signs, HLA.
It's the kind of thing that to this day, if you did it now,
you couldn't get away with it.
It would be totally ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right. So a couple of things to throw out there. I'll try to do this in order. Shandy, you might remember Zach, you might remember too. Around 2002, when Triple H and Jericho were feuding over the WWE Championship, yes. around the time of the Undisputed Championship, right. They had a Hell in a Cell match. This was after WrestleMania, of course. And they made a big point. You know, with every Hell in a Cell, it seems like there's a different thing that they like to focus on. Whether it's Triple H has never lost in the Cell, or Shawn Michaels was in the original one, you know, whoever's involved in it, they try to tie that back into the current performers.
Right.
Well, for this one, you know, Triple H at the time had only been in, I think, one or two, not a whole bunch of Hell in a Cell matches, so it wasn't really synonymous with him. Jericho, I don't think, had ever been in one. So they tried to play it up as a structure. This was pre-Elimination Chamber days. Look, they played the Hell in a Cell up as a structure that changed your world.
Yeah.
That if you were in a Hell in a Cell match, it would change your life.
Well, because you remember what happened to Mick Foley.
I think back then I would agree with that.
Made total sense.
Right.
For the performers. Not so much for the referee. Tim White was injured in the process of that match. Tim White, who was a veteran referee with WWE.
I want to give a shout out to Asa and give a quick, Mr. White, I wouldn't advise that. Mr. White, that's not a good idea.
Yeah, you know where I'm going with this. Shortly afterward, Tim White, who actually in real life ran a bar, they caught up with him.
The friendly tap.
Yeah,
I still remember that. Yeah,
they had an APA barroom brawl there. He attempted to kill himself on screen with a shotgun, failed. He then went on several other times over the course of the same show live in multiple different ways trying to commit suicide.
Like a toaster in a bathtub type
thing.
Yeah.
He tried to drink.
Like anything you think of, he basically did it.
Right. Yeah. And I guess
and who was it that was with him? Was it Josh Matthews?
Yeah, I think it was Josh
Matthews.
I'm
hard to believe he's been there so long.
More frosted tips at the time because it was him. It was either him or Cole. But I'm pretty sure it was Josh Matthews. But this sort of ties into the not necessarily fictional character, but the cartoony way of portraying
wrestling.
Where
were they going with that?
Nowhere.
Yeah. Nothing. Well, yeah, that's nothing was going to happen with that. Tim White was going to retire, and that was basically
it. It was just a little funny thing to break the show apart.
Right.
And it was kind of funny.
Right. But at the same time, this kind of goes back to what we're talking about with, like, Chris Benoit and everything else. Granted, it's Tim White. He's not on the level of fame. But, you know, for anybody who has struggled with suicide and depression.
Oh, yeah.
And so watching this show. Yeah. That's not good. That can't possibly be good.
And
that's embarrassing.
You're trying that again today. It's just like the HLA thing. That won't go over very
Absolutely.
Well.
There's no way in hell you'd get that over there right now. So that's one. Tim White attempting suicide as a comedy character, no less. There's no good way of doing that. But it's even worse when they make it. I think they thought this will be okay because we'll make it comedic.
Well, because you know WWE. Name one time WWE has done drama right.
Right.
And I'm not talking about not talking about in the matches. In the matches, maybe.
Oh, sure.
But anytime they've ever done a skit or vignette or whatever you want to call it, when have they ever done drama where you didn't kind of go, ugh? You remember Nikki Bella and Brie Bella?
The closest thing, that never worked. The closest thing I can think of, and it's not even dramatic in a negative way, in a positive way, is Savage and Elizabeth, obviously.
Oh, that real was fantastic. That was fantastic.
But you're talking about one of the few times that outside of like a Hall of Fame that everybody has ever been moved to tears or like serious drama.
Right.
That's basically
I remember when they tried to replicate that with Test and Stephanie.
The only thing
they had in common was that both Test and Randy Savage wore Stephanie out. Rumor time.
All right, guest host, I'm going to drop back to this one for a second because, again, there were some that were great, there were some that were not so great. In general, not that embarrassing because you don't really hear much about them outside. If you're not watching the show, who really cares?
Can I take a stab at who it is? One guess?
Yeah.
Because this is the one that I think of when I think of the possible worst guest host.
I'm going to be so excited if you get it right.
I don't think it's the same one. But for me personally, it was Hoda Kotb and Kathy Lee Gifford.
They were number two on my list. I made a short list
that
at the
was
time.
Most embarrassing.
They were terrible.
Oh, my God.
ZZ Top was number three. I made a 3-2-1 list.
I don't even remember ZZ Top.
That's the thing. They did like one pre-taped vignette backstage. They never came out on stage. Nobody ever saw them. So they weren't even at the show. So them. Hoda Kotb and
Kathy Lee.
There you go.
Regis Philbin.
They were terrible. Yeah. So number one, Zach, you want to take a stab at it?
I don't think she was actually host. She was just in a WrestleMania match. I was not going to say Snooki.
Snooki was pretty bad, but she wasn't a guest host at any point.
Is it Grumpy Cat?
It's not Grumpy Cat.
Damn it.
As much as I hated the idea of doing that, you can't blame the damn cat. It's not the cat's
fault. I feel like we're playing What's in My Pocket over from KGMO here.
Who broke the glass? Is that who you spoke of, Cassidy?
Let
me set the stage for you. We'll just get into it this way. This was in the midst of Raw having a guest host every week. We had a commercial-free episode of Raw, which was the first time it had ever happened.
I remember
that was fun. Yeah, and it took place in Canada. So it was a 3-hour Raw in Canada, no commercials. And who did they get to guest host? American astronaut Buzz Aldrin.
Oh, I forgot all
about
that.
This was the most awkward thing I've ever seen.
That was during his Dancing with the Stars time. That's
he had him on.
Yeah.
He comes on to talk about the space program in America to a largely Canadian crowd. I'm sure there might have been some Americans there, but a largely Canadian crowd who gave not one single shit about what he had to say and is clearly fairly senile as he's delivering these lines, and then he just sort of disappears.
Yeah.
And that was pretty embarrassing, I have to admit, not just as a wrestling fan, but as an American.
And I don't think that was scripted. Was I think Buzz Aldrin literally wandered off.
I'm sure he did. Yeah.
Was that, okay, I know he was during Dancing with the Stars at that time, and Chris Jericho was also in Dancing with the Stars.
Yes.
Was that played in at the, were they both in the same season? Maybe. Basically say, bring out Chris Jericho, the star, the Canadian star, break Dancing with the
Could
Stars?
Have been. I think don't even remember, to be Buzz, honest.
He was also, maybe it was around the same time period, he was also in Transformers, wasn't he? Dark of the Moon.
That might have.
You know, the Transformers movie.
The final voice in Mass Effect 3, I guess that was right around that time too, wasn't
plus,
it?
And plus, you know, anytime you bring a guest host out there, they're going to get booed. Anytime you bring a celebrity out there, they're going to get booed no matter what.
But you bring out an American
hero. But you bring out an American hero.
I mean, depending on how you want to look
Canada.
At it. In Canada.
You might as well brought him out with Shawn Michaels.
Right, exactly. You know? So that was one. I had him as specifically as one that was listed on here.
Oh, by the way, Jordan, if you're listening, Buzz Aldrin was an astronaut.
I think you need to explain who Chris Jericho is.
He's a guy who goes into space.
Jordan doesn't know who Chris Jericho is.
All right, so two more. God. And again, I think in order it would be this way. So number two is we go back to 2003 WrestleMania 19. The build up to it, of course, is Rock and Austin is the big match that we're looking forward to. But at the same time, and Brock and Angle too over on SmackDown, they're putting on wrestling clinics every week.
Right.
What's happening on Raw? Triple H has a stranglehold on the WWE Championship, or on the World Heavyweight Championship, that is. And who emerges as his challenger? Not The Rock, who is, you know, just recently returning, but he was a heel. Not Austin. They go on to face each other. Booker T.
Oh shit! I know where this is going already.
Treated like the most worthless piece of crap ever. And in the most racist way they could possibly have done without actually having Triple H use a racial slur against him. Triple H comes out, looks him up and down like he's like on an auction block, first of all, turns right around and says that in the midst of his promo of why Booker T shouldn't be the WWE champion because you people aren't worthy of becoming champion. Meanwhile, let's not forget Booker T was a 5-time WCW champion going into this.
Yeah, he was a star.
And so then we go on beyond that and have multiple interactions between Triple H and Booker T leading up to the show, where Booker T has to put over Triple H and say,
that pissed me off. That was bullshit.
Yeah, you're as good as you are, but I'm still going to beat you. That's basically his whole argument going into the show. They have him face Ric Flair. He beats him, but it was a weird situation there, too. All of this probably could have been not necessarily absolved, but at least made a little bit better had Booker T won at WrestleMania.
Yes.
But at WrestleMania 19, what happens? Not only does he get put down by a pedigree and be forced to lay on the ground for a good 43 seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
He still loses after Triple H covers.
I think that's one of the biggest, the most controversial endings to a match is the fact that
it was terrible.
Booker was down for so long.
Yeah.
And if you are a wrestling fan, you know if the referee's not there to count the 1-2-3 right after the finisher, he's going to kick out. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he didn't kick out.
It didn't happen.
He stayed and lost.
Right.
And pissed away all of, you know,
exactly
all of his legacy.
Possible redemption that could have happened right there gets thrown away. And so, you know, that moment in and of itself doesn't make me embarrassed to be a wrestling fan. But if I'm thinking from an outside perspective, I'm embarrassed when people say, oh, that happened. You know, why are you so upset about it? Well, go back and watch this and see if you don't understand why.
Yeah.
Triple H, this is another thing, just like the Katie Vick deal, that to this day he has defended to the death saying that wasn't racist, that had nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
I was saying that WCW people should
do that. I remember
that
quote.
Meanwhile, you remember who was the next World Heavyweight Champion?
No.
Goldberg was the next guy to claim the World Heavyweight Championship.
But in Triple H's defense, Goldberg was not black.
Right, exactly. So. That's exactly my point. So that was an embarrassing time, I think, if you were trying to explain the situation.
It was bad.
My number one is, again, not a storyline, and we've kind of touched on this a little bit here, but something that would make me embarrassed to be a wrestling fan would be to be a part of a crowd, and this happened very recently, in fact, on the Raw after WrestleMania, that chants the phrase, "We are awesome," because that is such bullshit. I don't care what you do throughout the show. I don't care who you do and don't chant at. I think it's bullshit that they chanted things like, "You suck, Cena,"
and
"You suck, Brian,"
and we're
Bellas.
Disrespectful
That's
people.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I think by the time you get to the main event, and let's be clear, WWE put on a pretty damn good show after WrestleMania, as they usually do.
All things considered, yes, other than Sting losing, which I will never forgive
them
for.
But again, that didn't even happen on that show. If you're taking that in a vacuum, the Raw after WrestleMania.
Oh, the Raw show after WrestleMania. Yeah, I'm sorry, I thought you meant WrestleMania.
Yeah,
my fault. Yeah.
The show itself, pretty damn great.
Good show.
The wrestling, not bad.
Yeah.
Not a lot of screw-ups from what I remember. I don't remember any real botched moves or spots or anything.
And that had the Lesnar angle, which was fantastic.
Oh, that was great.
Lesnar, yeah.
That was one of the most exciting things, if not the most exciting thing on that show.
Yeah.
You know, six-man tag main event, they chanted same old shit. Fair enough. I'll give you that much. We have seen these guys go at each other. It was Orton and Orton and Ryback.
Yeah.
And Reigns against, you know, the Authority, Big Show, Kane, and Rollins. And yeah, they mostly chanted those kind of things when Show, Kane, or Reigns were in the ring. Fair enough. We all know why you don't like them. We don't like them either. Good enough.
Yeah.
But when you've got guys like Orton and Rollins and Ryback in there doing the best they can, busting their asses to make this an entertaining match, and the crowd is so far gone at that point that they start doing the wave.
Well, because it's all about them.
Exactly. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
It becomes such an egotistical thing. These are people who hate guys like Triple H because they're egotistical in real life and they know so much about it, and then they turn right around and become them. Mm-hmm. They become the villain.
Yeah.
And it's disappointing, not just from that particular show, but from a fan's perspective, for somebody to later say, oh, man, you know, I saw on ESPN or whatever, this crowd just totally went off the rails and did whatever they wanted. That's not all of us.
No.
And that's embarrassing.
And it's bad that the WWE encourages that.
Because
they always talk about, man, the crowd after WrestleMania, this is going to be great.
Right. And I get it. Turn into the skid. You got to do what you got to do. You're never going to get away from that. So you might as well veer into it and do what you can and let them go off the rails. But at the same time, it really is embarrassing to know that you could be equated with people who go into a show and chant, "We are awesome."
Yeah.
Are you really?
No, not awesome at all. And like you said, it's especially disheartening when the action in the ring does not deserve the chant they're giving them.
Exactly. That's my problem.
I have seen great matches that they chant boring to. And it's why. You know, like, who are these fans that think they're so fucking great? Like, I don't know what match they're wrestling in.
Crowd.
I've never seen them in a main event before.
Yeah, you're talking about privilege at this point. You're talking about guys who have, because
white privilege. White privilege.
Almost. I knew that was coming.
Yeah.
More often than not, we all sort of know that the Raw crowd after WrestleMania is more or less comprised of the WrestleMania crowd. Most people who go to WrestleMania will then turn around and get a Raw ticket. I'm sure that's not cheap. I don't care where you sit in either one of those shows. I'm sure it's not inexpensive to go to those two things.
Right.
But this is just like the asshole who goes to the movie theater and says, "I paid $10.
I'm going
to
be yell
on
at
my
this
phone.
Movie. Yeah.
I'm going to yell at this movie, and everyone around me be damned. I don't care."
Yeah,
to me,
ridiculous.
It's the same idea, and that's something that is the ultimate pet peeve for me. It has almost driven me away from movie theaters in general.
Oh, me too. So, yeah, you know, personal story. Lindsay and I went to go see Ice Age 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And we went at like 11 o'clock at night, late show. We both work, you know, 40 hours a week.
Sure.
Well, we go in there, and there's a group in the back, and they're talking through the entire movie.
Ugh.
Like, what was the little rat guy? Sprat,
yeah,
I think was his name,
thing.
Whatever. Yeah.
Raymond?
He's
Ray Brown?
he's trying to get that nut. You know, he's always trying to get that note.
That's right.
And
Zach loses it in the background.
I hear this asshole behind me yell out as loud as he can, "Look, he's trying to get that nut." And then everybody starts laughing. And this motherfucker comes up to me after the movie and goes, "Did y'all hear me up there?" And I just stared at him and go, "Motherfucker, everybody heard you.
Yeah.
Everybody in
this
theater heard you. You asshole." Yeah. What right
you
do you have?
You said that to his face?
I did. I cussed him. I said,
yeah, absolutely, man.
I said, why would you act like that? And me and Lindsay walked away. You know, yeah. I was so pissed off.
Rightly so, man.
They're doing something. Have respect. It's not about you.
Right.
They didn't pay you to come to this show. You paid to come see this show.
Exactly.
So obviously you must like what's happening in the ring. Show some respect for the people that are in there busting their ass,
and that's what
risking their life
to.
Every time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I did stand up a couple of times, and fortunately, you know, it was down here in downtown Cape at Dockside with Louie, who's, of course, been on the show before, my buddy Michael Yetman, and we really didn't have to deal much with hecklers for the most part. But, you know, there were a couple of times that people got out of hand. And for somebody like, and not to put myself or whatever, but for somebody like me who goes on, you know, in front of a bunch of people every single day, whether I can see them or not, people think, "Oh, you never get nervous. You never get nervous doing anything." That was nerve wracking as hell, even when it was mostly people that I knew.
Yeah.
So to then be up there and not only be worried about what was going on, but be terrified that somebody was, you know, silence is bad, but somebody hurling it back at you is so much worse.
Right.
I can't imagine to then be an athlete and have to be in and talk what you say what you will about you know, wrestling is a sport, it's not whatever. We know that it's not, you know, a legitimate athletic competition, but they're athletes.
They're definitely athletes.
So you're not just up there. Right. You're not, and even a guy like Santino who's having to do comedy and trying to make people laugh, you're not just up there doing that. You're having to perform. You're having to make sure you're facing the right way.
Right.
Make sure that you're loud enough or that you're not loud enough so that you're, you know, you can't be heard.
Yeah, it's even for the worst moments they have.
Right.
It takes so much work.
There's so much going on. And for you to then turn around and decide, you know what, we don't care how good the show is, we're going to shit all over it.
Yeah.
We paid our money, so that's our right to do so. Yeah, it is, I guess. You know, you can do whatever you want, but don't expect us to be excited about it after the fact.
I'm pretty sure the entire crowd after WrestleMania is made up by people on Reddit. No, I think it's reflective of society in general nowadays that we have lost the respect for people that we once had. Where before, even if you disagreed with something, you would let it go, you would quietly let it go, and you would move on, and, and you would mention it later. But nowadays, everybody, they're so used to hiding behind computers, behind monitors, talking shit, you know, behind usernames, making themselves be big, bad guys. And the internet has made heroes of these people. The internet has made these people into legends of, oh, this guy is a great troll. Look at this guy. Look what he's done to these people. And that's why you have suicides. That's why you have depression. That's why you have people. Do you not think of what this actually does to people when you do it? You don't care about you know what happens to everyone else. All you care is that you got your moment in the sun.
Sure.
For 5 minutes, you were a fucking hero.
Right.
Great
and it's
job,
different from,
asshole.
I think about, I told you earlier, I was watching ECW One Night Stand and a couple of different ones, and there are so many crazy chants that get hurled at that time, and that's a very emotional place in the Hammerstein Ballroom every time that they run a show like that. And then, you know, a WWE guy shows up and purposely plays a heel and gets yelled at. I think they understand that's a big part of that show. You talk about what a great crowd you have there. Because you never really have anybody going off the rails and trying to do something outside of what's happening. They don't dictate what's going on.
Right.
They go along with the show, and they do what they will with that, and that's great. But when you have just what is essentially, even though it is, you know, the most exciting Raw of the year, what is just a normal episode of Raw, and a crowd that turns around and makes that show about themselves, I can't do it, man.
So I think we're all in agreement. Now that you say that, I start thinking about all of the videos they play online on like Tosh.0 and the soup of wrestling fans doing stupid things.
Yeah.
I think the most embarrassing thing for a wrestling fan about wrestling are wrestling fans.
Wow. I feel like we need an Inception horn right there.
Well, you make me not want to watch wrestling anymore. Thank you, sir.
Well, it's Thursday. It's okay. Nobody's watching SmackDown tonight anyway.
Not till it moves to USA.
That's right.
Ooh.
Not till it's on Hulu tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, half of it, probably. Yeah. I don't know how the SmackDown show is on there. Don't they play the full SmackDown show?
Well, it'd have to be. It's only 90 minutes of the Raw.
That's so stupid. Yeah. Why can you not show the... You know what? That's another show for another time.
Yes, it is.
I think we should wrap this up, because I gotta get back to work.
Yeah, you and me both.
Yeah. We're kind of snuck in a studio to do this just real quick. And by
Gorilla
real quick,
Radio.
I meant an hour ago. Yeah.
Brought to you by
Shut Up, Zach.
It's almost an hour and a half.
Eh? Shut up, Zach.
We're at a minute 10, if we'll go by the official recording.
A minute 10.
I'm sorry, an hour. That's
it. Best show we've done so far. All right. All right. Well, Hunter, thank you again so much for sharing your wisdom and buttery voice.
I try.
You've just earned me another 2 weeks on the air. But you are going to be, you said you would, and
that's
hoping you're going to stick to this. Of the 25th, we're going to do our Extreme Rules preview show.
That is the plan.
All right, cool. Hunter's going to be there. Zach, you're going to be there too.
For sure.
Right? All right. Zach, again, thank you so much for appearing. I shouldn't even have to thank you at this point because you're on every show.
Yeah.
Good job for being here, Zach.
Yeah, good job for showing up today.
Don't I basically help get the wrestling show on the get done?
Yeah, well, you're part of the reason the whole show got on the air to begin with. So thank you, Zach.
That's true.
Thank you, Hunter. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back. I was going to say we'll be back tonight with the oh, my God. I got
to
do another show after this later today. I
do too many. You just said work.
Dude,
why do I do so many?
You're
going
to have to start backing stuff up and release at a different time.
Well, this isn't going out until
what's happening today.
Yeah, this isn't going out until Saturday. I may post it early just because I want to go, hey, Hunter was back. You know? So...
Well, at least it's not a time topic. I mean,
yeah, no, this could be anything. But watch something break tomorrow. Watch Hulk Hogan dies in hot dog skinning accident or something. You know?
Tim White actually commits suicide.
Oh, that's dark.
That's unfortunate.
Let's see. Well, let me think. Okay, if today's Saturday, we'll be back on Sunday for the random show. That'll be a lot of fun. We'll see you then. Thank you so much, guys, and we'll see you on Sunday.